The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
The Friday Hoops edition of the Bottom Line Bombs on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Game Time. You're home for the lowest price, last-minute tickets. Download the Game Time app today and use promo code SGPN for $20 off. We're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Sign up today, use promo code SGPN, then go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/dog. To enter our bonus contest, five winners will receive shirts, hats, and a $50 SGPN gift card. We're also brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, a sports betting research platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit HOFBets.com. Use code SGPN, get 50% off your first month, and start making smarter bets today. And you're doing that by listening to the Bottom Line Bombs. You know why you're listening? You know how you know you're listening to it? Because you hear a theme song like this. Yes, welcome. Welcome to the Bottom Line Bombs. I'm your host, CJ Sullivan, the bet detective and the man in the box. It is Friday, February 23rd, 24. That's 2-2-3-2-4. For all you, weird number people. I don't even know if that is anything. It's similar numbers. It's not even really the theme. It's not like it's all twos or anything like that. Anyway, it is Friday, 2-2-3-2-4-2-5-6-7-8-5-1-0-1. We got a good show today. I will give out some NBA bombs and some college basketball bombs for Saturday's slate. This will be an evergreen episode. This is an episode that can last you all weekend. You know, you listen to this to go to sleep. As I look at me in the box, you get my head and my pompous hair. Wow, not good. I just read a thing. I don't know if I can look at this with my face right back at me. Like when I'm getting a haircut, you know, when it's just your head in the mirror staring at you with the toilet paper on your throat. Anyway, I did read that when you look at yourself in the mirror, your mind tricks it into making yourself look three times better than you actually are. That's why the photo is way different than the mirror, because the mirror is how you perceive yourself. I'm the opposite. I think I'm three times worse. I can't imagine what I'm looking at right now is three times better than what I actually am. And that's a scarier thought, because already the mirror is bad. I avoid mirrors. I avoid mirrors like I avoid my ATM receipt, you know? Do you want to know what's in your account? No, I don't. Thanks. I'm just glad the motors are running for what I just asked for just now. I don't like the mirrors. Especially at bars and restaurants, when you think it's a different room, you know? You think it's a room that keeps on going, but it's just a mirror. And it's you. Like, look at that guy. He's talking to himself. Wait a minute. Fuck. That's me. That's psycho. God damn it. I was just talking to myself. Anyway. Like I said, so this will be an evergreen all weekend show. I'll get out of it. I'm sorry. Sorry, C-Generates. I'll snap out of it. I'll snap out of looking at me. You guys can look at me. That's fine. I don't need to look at me. We went 3-1 on our college bombs on Tuesday. I gave out, including the outright upset of Creighton over UConn. That was pretty good. I'll have 5 more college bombs for you for Saturday's games and a couple NBA bombs after the break for tonight. I'll get those in quickly since it is that's time sensitive. But those are where the fun stories are. Last night was a good game. Washington State beating Arizona. Shout out to DJ Ron Pasco, who is a C-Generate, who is a Cougar, who's very excited about the Washington State's amazing miracle season, and they swept Arizona. Incredible. So way to go. They were getting 13 last night in Arizona, too. That was a fun game. Anyway, it's baseball season already. Can you believe that? Baseball's on the TVs. Spring training baseball. Let's see, C-Generates. We'll be giving out some spring training picks when I get into it. I haven't got into it yet. Don't let anyone shame you from betting on spring training baseball. How could you bet on spring? How could you not? I love when people yell at you for betting on preseason. That's like one of the only ones you have an advantage of. Like, at least there's some information you could use. How do you bet on regular season games? Those are the ones that are fucking impossible. Baseball in the regular season is a nightmare to handicap and bet on. Anyway, last year the story of baseball was the pitch clock and all the things they're trying to do to make it hip to the kids, you know, make it the TikTok generation, the Savannah Bananas. This year they changed the uniforms for everyone to make it easy breezy, you know? Nice material, polyester. It's like George Costanza's running the thing. They didn't run it by any of the players. And then they just threw it on. I'm like, okay, here's your new uniforms. And all the players hate them. They said it looked like a cheap TJ Maxx uniform. The colors are bad. It looks cheap. But it's supposed to be breathable, which I can relate. I can get why old men would sit like this, you know? Who cares how you look? It's how it breathes. Are you comfortable? Now the pants are see-through, apparently, which is even hilarious. Chad G popping into chat room says, what the hell happened to CJ? I know. No more mustache rides for the ladies. Yeah, I know. I shaved the mustache. I shaved it this morning. I look younger. Got a clean puss. I haven't had a clean puss in a while. The mustache was getting a little old. It's still in the logo. I know. The mustache board. This actually segues perfectly into these see-through dick and balls pants that Major League Baseball is throwing out there. Baseball's making their players wear pants where you can see all of their package. It's completely see-through. Wrong generation, baseball. That's like the 80s and 70s. You're Steve Garveys of the world, you know? Your old Keith Hernandez, your womanizer baseball players like that. Not your modern-day baseball players. But speaking of which, and your dick and balls. Yeah, that was another thing with the mustache. I like the mustache. Like I said, it became an ironic thing. And then after a while, I'm like, is this ironic? Man, it's just my look. Trust me, this thing will be grown back by midnight tonight. This thing comes back in a hurry. But then it was just borderline gay, to be honest with you, the mustache. I have a cop look. I have a nice dignified, it's a masculine look, but it also could be, that problem with the mustache is the handsomer you are with it, the gayer you look. That's me trying to say I'm a handsome man. No, it's not nothing to do with that. I just wanted to shave it. Like I said, my mustache comes back like that. It's like a fucking 5 o'clock shadow. The mustache with the see-through baseball pants. Now, baseball's going to have to do something about it. The fact that this story has been going on for like over a month now is kind of amazing. They haven't changed. They don't know what to do because they just ordered it. They went right ahead. No fucking go ahead. No green light. So it's going to take a lot to change it. But I hope they sell it to fans. That'd be hilarious, wearing some fucking see-through baseball pants. Were they trying to sex them up? Kind of like when LPGA told their players to slut it up a little bit. Like, hey, listen, we need ratings. All right? For the 4% of you that aren't lesbians, can you slut it up a bit, please? Get some guys interested? Fellas, listen. Baseball's a woman's sport. Women like to go there. They like to text. They love the baseball pants. We heard all about it. So wear this paper towel content clothing, throw water through it, and really, really stretch you out, if you know what I mean, for the game. So that'll be interesting. Baseball and Playgirl always had a weird connection, I feel. Steve Garvey was in Playgirl, right? That's where he said that he has like six different women or whatever. He's actually running. He's running for like Senate or some shit out here in California. And oh, the Dodger jokes are on plan. I tell you, he also dodged questions, Steve Garvey. He'll win because he's Steve Garvey. Anyway. All right. Let me take a quick break. And when we come back, I'll get into some NBA bombs for Friday. Then some college basketball bombs for Saturday. And then a man in a box about a new TV show on Hulu that made me sick. But first, let me tell you about Game Time. Game Time is a ticket app where you get the personal game, where it takes all the stress out of getting tickets. Let's say you wanted to get a show ticket to my stand-up show on April 19th, the weekend of that, April 19th and 20th. I think it is that, in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, at the Laughing Tap. Let's say you wanted to pre-order those, and you got a little nervous. That's all right. You go to Game Time. You look it up. Make sure I got the right date here. Yep, April 19th and the 20th, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, CJ Sullivan, the man in the box doing stand-up comedy. Let's say you wanted to buy tickets like that to help sell it out so he hits his bonus. You go to Game Time. You scroll through, you get the flash deal, you get the last-minute tickets. You don't get obstructed views. You can see your seat right there. You don't go up to the window and say, no, sorry, sir, this is for the Milwaukee Cheese Fest, which is in the summertime, you know? Not the CJ Sullivan stand-up comedy show, which you wanted to buy tickets for, obviously. So if you want to snag these tickets without the stress with Game Time, you download the Game Time app, you create an account, use code SGPN for $20 off on your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code SGPN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Also, we are brought to you by, let me get to it, Underdog. There it is. I should have put the Game Time thing as well. But Underdog Fantasy has a way to play alongside your favorite fantasy players all season long. NBA, NHL, soccer, college basketball. Simply pick higher or lower on your favorite players' fantasy stats and cash in. SGPN is teaming up with Underdog to give you even more of a bonus. Sign up between now and the end of the month, and five winners will receive an Underdog hat, Underdog shirt, and a $50 SGPN gift card. Sign up today using promo code SGPN. Then go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/dog to enter the contest for your chance to win. When you sign up with the promo code SGPN, Underdog will double your first deposit up to $100. That's Underdog Fantasy promo code SGPN. And we're back here on the Bottom Line Bombs. I am your host, CJ Sullivan. The man in the box, the bet detective, coming in with some NBA bombs. Get ready for the remote bomb noise because I still have pneumonia in my lungs and it might be another couple weeks with the antibiotics, says the doctor. That's a long goddamn fucking version of that song. That's supposed to be my zippy news thing. And then I like playing the full version if I have like stuff to do, you know? I love you, C. Generates, but sometimes, and I love entertaining you with the show, and I love doing the show. But sometimes in the middle of the show, I gotta run some errands and check out other things, open up the tab window. So what I'll do is I'll play the entire Round Ball Rock song, and then get things done. I'm just kidding. Anyway, let's get into some NBA bombs while we're here, right? Let's get to the show. Tonight, this line has come down to 3.5, which is a little bizarre. Phoenix Suns versus Houston Rockets. Now, I get it why. Phoenix played last night. They played a tough game versus Dallas. They lost. Houston's a little better than they normally are, but I still like Phoenix here. We're going to back Phoenix here on the short number, mainly because they're slipping to the play-in tournament, and they need to get going. They can't afford losing games versus Houston. Now, they haven't had, now Bradley Beal's still out. I don't know what he's doing. But they still have Durant and Booker. Now, normally, versus any other good team, that's not going to be enough. But versus Houston, like, they can handle it. And I think Booker has a big game tonight, actually. But Kevin Durant last night, what a hilarious story that was before the Dallas game. Did you see that article? Did you see that article? And I sound like my dad. The video clip, I mean, he's coming out pregame, coming out, and there's two fans there, a perfect Dallas couple, front row. Called Durant a bitch. Hey, bitch! Durant stops, confronts them, and then just perfection. They're both smiling. They're both holding a beer. The woman, she's got her hand out like she's gonna high five, the handshake, high five, Durant. Like he came over in a friendly mode. Hey, there's my number one and two Maverick fans who called me a bitch. Yeah, I just wanted to show you some dap. No, you fucking cunt. And she got mad that he wouldn't shake her hand. That was hilarious. He's confronting him, and the guy's like smiling. Ha ha. Well, to be honest with you, I didn't think you'd turn around. That's why I said. Why'd you say that? Because I thought you'd just keep playing like other professional athletes. I will say this. I have no problem Kevin Durant confronting him. And he was actually cool because security was going to kick them out. And Durant's like, nah, keep him in the game. The game hasn't even started yet. But that's why I don't really, I respect basketball, obviously, but the NBA, the fans are too close to the players. They sell seats like that are basically on the bench. The bench is just folding chairs. And you could buy a folding chair like Larry David or Jack Nicholson right next to them. Like you're part of the fucking team. You're way too close. You shouldn't be that into the action. That's what I'm trying to say. To Durant and this guy, and he's just smiling. They're both smiling, thinking they're going to get dapped up. And then he says the classic line that's going to make it, that makes it immortal. He goes, hey, I host a podcast about sports. And Durant just rolls his eyes. Oh, do you? Is this how you're trying to get me on the show? This fucking guy. He gives a bad name to the other 96,000 of us who do a podcast about sports. That's what I didn't like about this story. There are so many goddamn podcasts. You know what the problem is? Is these professional athletes, especially the NBA ones. The NBA ones are good, though, because they all just tell hilarious stories, although there's no fact-checking whatsoever. That being said, Durant wants all that. Take them -3.5 versus Houston. Bomb that. The next game, speaking of podcasts and all that stuff, is a very intriguing, probably the game of the night, Milwaukee versus Minnesota at Minnesota. Minnesota, the surprise team along with the Thunder this season. They are the one seed out west. They look great. They are 4.5-point home favorite. Seems like a short number against a reeling Milwaukee Buck team. But you never know what you're going to get with the Milwaukee Bucks. But they were in the news Speaking of which, Doc Rivers, who's been awful. It's not even 100% his fault. I mean, the personnel, their Milwaukee Bucks defense has been terrible. And that happens when you trade away your best defensive guard in the league for the worst defensive guard in the league, Damian Lillard. The personnel is not good. And Lillard hasn't been shooting well. Although he had a great all-star break. He really lit it up in a three-point contest. But Doc Rivers, that's more of his hilarious Doc Rivers quotes. He was like, he was questioning, he was saying how tough it was to take over a team midway through. Didn't realize it was going to be this tough. Then he was like, I don't even know why they did this. I told the ownership, why are you doing, why are you firing Anthony Edwards? Why are you hiring me? Not Anthony Edwards. Sorry. Anthony Edwards is on the Minnesota Timberwolves, who they are playing tonight. That's why that was on my mind. I was speaking of Adrian Griffin. Why are you firing Adrian Griffin and hiring me? This is what Doc Rivers is saying. Doc Rivers, who was the consultant for the Milwaukee Bucks. He was a paid consultant, and that was his advice to them. Fire Adrian Griffin, hire me. And then he's like, I don't know why they did this. Why were they listening to me? You can't trust me. Don't you know my record? It's awful. Why'd you hire me as a consultant to begin with? Anyway, more passing the buck, which Doc Rivers tends to do, which led to a moment on the ESPN show First Take, formerly Cold Pizza, where J.J. Redick called him out for it. He's like, this guy never fucking takes ownership of anything. No accountability. And he's right. You don't hear a lot of people call out Doc Rivers at all. Doc Rivers is always the elephant in the room because he's had like a 40-year coaching career of nothing but failure, except for the one championship with the Celtics. And he keeps failing upward, and he keeps getting jobs because people love him. Everyone loves him. The media loves him. Ownerships love him. Players love him because he's a good guy. You know, he's Doc. He has $2,000 worth of cash in his pocket, $10,000 bracelet on, and jewelry. You know, he's just a good guy from Chicago. Bad coach. Chokes. And he does pass the buck. He blamed Ben Simmons. He took credit for the James Harden trade. It's just now to the Clippers. Yeah, they asked me. I said, he's a good player. Oh, did you? You told him James Harden's good? Way to go, Doc. He went through his whole, I mean, he's got a long list of blowing 3-1 leads. He went through all those. They were favored in one of them. Remember that? We were an 8 seed with Orlando. Then there was the bubble. Anything happens in the bubble. You blew 15-point leads in every one of those games. And then one we flat out blew. Well, what are you going to do? All of them. Amazing. And it's a good strategy, actually. I mean, it's what keeps him getting these jobs, and it's what keeps him going for this long. He gives you every reason why it's someone's fault but his. Rolex dad says Doc sounds like him at work. I know. Why not pass the buck? Although players don't like it. Lane Elliott, what's up, Bet Detective? Absolutely. So when J.J. Redick does this, people were upset. Mainly because they love Doc Rivers. But ESPN also loves to take. ESPN loves nothing more when they create their own news story. And this is the news story created by ESPN. And when J.J. Redick goes on his debate shows, like First Take with Stephen A. Smith and Shannon Sharp, if he just says anything like somewhat semi-rational, just like something anyone off the street would just say, a normal sentence, he comes across as like an intellect and a genius and almost like pretentious. Because he's not screaming takes that he doesn't believe in and just firing off whatever insincere lies. So that it's so much so, what I love about what J.J. Redick does is like he makes people on these debate shows scared because he exposes their show, you know, for what it is. It's just, you know, firing off hot takes. But he doesn't seem so much so we're like, like there was a moment yesterday where Stephen A. Smith had to tell the audience that he likes J.J. Redick. Now, hold on. I just got it's like, listen, idiots. It's like every once in a while, I have to tell you, wrestling's not real. You know, hey, for everyone at home, kids, I didn't really put Hulk's legs in a figure four. He's fine. OK, we're going to Tampa Bay tomorrow. All right. This is not real. See, he literally had to look at the camera and say, I like J.J. Redick. He's a friend of mine. When I call him a piece of shit, it's just for the show. Shannon Sharp had to ask, do you even know how this show works? Which is a hilarious thing to say. And I don't think he does. I mean, maybe he does. He does. See, I think that's his character. I think Nick Wright, he's on Fox Sports. He's like a mini version of Skip Bayless or Stephen A. You know, like, he's really upset. He tweeted out, like, I hate when that people who have money, I love that. He has money, comes onto our format, and then trashes the format. Well, what are you doing here for? But that's his angle. That's the thing you're going to get upset about? You don't get upset about anything else because it's all fair game. You know the fucking deal. So why can't your character being pulling the curtain behind the eyes, you know? That's what I like about it. And it gets these people scared. But then JJ just says some shit like, he does come across ridiculous when he's just like, what's the ecosystem we live in where I went after a coach and I got 10 million views, but then I could talk about Zion and how he finished a game, break down the tape, and that only gets 50,000 views for my podcast. Is that what people want? Yeah, that is what people want, JJ, first of all. And first of all, you really don't know why one gets 10 million and the other one gets 50,000. First of all, your podcast isn't a fraction of the exposure ESPN show is. And not only when you do that take on ESPN show, ESPN cycles it all day. And then they line up fucking retorts. They're bringing up Doc Rivers' fucking family members, for God's sakes, to retort your point. That's how much they loved it. They loved this fucking idea for his show. Oh, my God. So funny. And then I love when people are like, there's a time and place for the video for if you want to break down film. Where on ESPN is there a time where intelligent X's and O's talk about the game? There is nothing. Sports Reporters was thrown on at 3 a.m. And now it's like 15 minutes. The Jeremy Schapp show. Remember that one? That's like a 15-minute thing at 2 a.m. It's like an infomercial. There is no space for X's and O's. They've dumbed down everything. And they don't want to admit it. Like Tom Brady said before, ESPN is to sports what MTV did to music. It has destroyed it. And whatever. It's what the people want. I love when I say that too. It's what the people want. Well, if that's all you're going to show, then yeah, it is what the people want because they have to take it. I do like how it makes Nick Wright, man. Nick Wright's a weird fucking looking guy. And they all came after J.J. Redick about his take, like Pat Beverly. I get why Pat Beverly did it because he plays for Doc Rivers right now. But he just talks shit, too. They all just talk shit. They're all friends. They don't give a fuck. But what was Nick Wright's thing? Nick Wright's thing was like, it's like if I'm going to have people over for an Uno party to play the game Uno, and then you come over, and all you do is trash Uno and how dumb it is and say we should play chess instead. That's what that's like. Yeah, kind of. Except Uno isn't destroying the sport in society. It doesn't make you dumber. It's a fun game. And it's cruel. Draw four. There's nothing better than playing Uno with some kid for his first time. And then they have no idea what's coming to them. When they get like a draw four and they just get, or they don't say Uno fast enough. Yeah, that's life, buddy. That is cruel, cruel life. So anyway, where was I? With that being said, a lot of that was said for that game. So Milwaukee and Minnesota. That's where I was at with all this first take talk. And I don't like talking about other people's takes and whatever and other people's shows, but that's what's in the news right now. And you can't stop it. What was the other thing that Stephen A. made me laugh? Stephen A. made me laugh with something else. First of all, how many fucking podcasts? It's amazing how they have a show and they have a podcast. How much do you have to say? What did you not get in during that 3-hour show you do in the morning? Now you have to do fucking a podcast about which Pokemon you like better? I mean, good God. Enough's enough. I'd say something. It's not like, well, if you don't like it, don't listen. We don't have a choice. That's the problem. We don't have a choice anymore. It's in your algorithm. You like one thing even remotely near it, and it's in your algorithm, and it's on your feed, and you can't stop it. It's unrelenting. What was I going to say? Oh, Stephen A. said something about Pat McAfee, and I'm not a fan of any of them. I don't care. I don't care either way, but... I'll say this. And I've always said this about Stephen A. Smith. I always thought it was weird Stephen A. Smith gets a pass that Skip Bayless doesn't. Because Skip Bayless taught Stephen A. Smith. That was like his mentor. They're like best friends. It's just bizarre. Like, whoa, his is performance art. Well, then what do you think Skip's is? You think Skip Bayless actually believes LeBron James sucks? Or is he just a troll? That's his job. If we all of a sudden decided to think that we didn't like LeBron James and we thought he was bad, then he say how great he is, because that's a contrarian way to go. But no, we all like LeBron James, so he says he's bad. Anyway, Stephen A. said something like, Pat McAfee isn't as polished as him because he can get away with it because he's white or something like that, which is funny. And I got no problem with it. I didn't know Stephen A. was polished. I didn't know what he did. I didn't know what he did was button down polished, but okay. Whatever. Also, we don't want to see you in a tank top, but you're right. Personally, I think McAfee gets away with a lot because he owns his show and he knows he can pull away from ESPN, but and also because he's white and he says cuzzo a lot. Anyway, I'm not a fan of McAfee's show. Y'all don't want him coming after me like he did Bill Simmons. Oh boy. Anyway, let me take a quick break. I didn't even give out the bomb yet. Never mind. JC from KC says, what's up, C. Generates? How you doing? He is the chancellor of the C. Generates. Anyway, the line is 4.5. At first glance, it looks like Minnesota's an auto play because they're the number one team in the league. They're playing great. Milwaukee looks like a disaster. But this is the kind of game where they're going to get up for Doc. The players like rallying for Doc. It's been a long break. They got called out about being in Cabo after a horrendous loss to Memphis. I think they win this game outright, but I'll take the 4.5 points. This is the kind of game they win. Then they'll still lose like 5 of the next 8. Also, it's a bad match. For what Milwaukee does bad, Minnesota can't really expose it. Their defense plugged on the middle. Conley's really not going to abuse Lillard like you can. It's just not a good matchup for Minnesota. So with that being said, here comes a Bombenheimer, my NBA bomb of the night, Milwaukee +4.5 at Minnesota. All right. Now with that being said, let me tell you about Hall of Fame bets. Hall of Fame bets. You win bigger by betting smarter than this NBA season with Hall of Fame bets, the sports betting analytics platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Research every NBA and soccer bet with historical stats and data. Enter any parlay idea into the Hall of Fame bets revolutionary parlay optimizer tool to get hit rates broken down by leg as well as an expected probability for the entire parlay. Sort all players by hit rate for any bet to learn which players are hot, which picks have value. Stop betting in the dark. Join over 30,000 users researching with Hall of Fame bets to craft more intelligent, data-driven parlays. Download the Hall of Fame bets app or visit hofbets.com. Use code SGPN to get 50% off your first month today. Start researching. Start winning with Hall of Fame bets. And we're back. On the bottom line, bombs, I'm CJ Sullivan. Sorry, I was just writing down the ticker, what the counter was for when I came back, because then I put ads in a little later on. I'll peel behind the curtain a little bit, just like they did with the show. And that's when I put my ads in later. I do the live ad reads. I thank you guys for watching on YouTube, which I do right now. I appreciate it. Please make sure you subscribe to Bottom Line Bombs with CJ Sullivan here on YouTube. On the pods, if you're not already, on Spotify or iTunes, on my own feed there. Please do that. Give 5-star reviews. Hit the thumbs up button on the YouTuber, if you will. Please. Get that. Speaking of algorithms, get that going. All right. Now let's talk. So that was two NBA bombs I gave for you. I gave you Milwaukee +4.5 and Phoenix -3.5. Now let's get to Saturday's college slate. I don't like doing a Friday night college because that's Ivy League shit. I mean, there's a couple games. I like getting into it. If you listen to the C block with me and C, Picks Dundee, we did break down those games. But let's get into the Saturday games as I take a swig. This, I don't have too many picks with bits. These are going to be straight up picks. I'm going to fire them right at you. First one is Wake Forest -2 versus Duke. I love Wake Forest here. It's a revenge game. They just played at Duke a couple weeks ago. They should have covered. They were getting 7.5. It was a bizarre ending to that game, actually. It was like 6.5 or 7.5. Either way, they were on the line, and they were 1 point outside the number, like down 7, and it was 6.5. He bricked the free throw. Duke starts walking off. And then the Wake guy runs the ball down and then just walks it out of bounds. Like he saw a ghost or something, or saw like his crush in the stands. And he starts, walks the ball out of bounds. And then they're like, oh, okay, well, there's still time. And then inbound it and game was over. What? Just put the fucking ball back in. Anyway, Duke just lit up Miami. Miami was hurt, though, so it looked a little worse than it was. Duke is starting to play well, which is a perfect time to get Wake Forest. Wake Forest, one of my favorite schools in college basketball, where you're not sure what it is, where it is, or how you get there. What the hell is Wake Forest? Is it Jesuit? Is it private? Is it is it military? Who fucking knows? Where in the hell is it? Pretty sure it's North Carolina. Usually, if it's basketball, you don't know where it is. It's in Carolina. Like Clemson. That's South Carolina. But a lot of these schools, you know, what in the good God is going on? Wake Forest is definitely one of them. They have not made the tournament since Tim Duncan, I think. Or Randolph Childress before that. Either way, I like them to exact revenge and beat Duke on a short number, -2 at home. Give me the Demon Deacons. That was a Bombenheimer. I'm going to give you 5 bombs for Saturday. I gave you 2 NBA for tonight. That's 7 total bombs. So here, did you see that math I just did? And I didn't even need a T181 calculator. What the fuck was the deal with that in high school? They made you buy this like T181 calculator. Like you had to get it. Remember the one that had like a scroll of paper that would type out like you're an old accountant? Didn't need it for anything. They didn't teach us anything. Not one thing that was worthwhile was taught to me in school. How about taxes? How about that school? How about you teach us how to do taxes? Teach us Spanish and taxes. That's the only things you need to be an American. I mean, English. I'm talking about once you get to high school. I mean, obviously English, basically. But that you learn that you learn as a kid, right out the womb. But they should teach you Spanish out the womb too. When we can learn, it's impossible to learn as an adult. Anyway, where was I? All right, next one: Kentucky, Alabama. That's gonna be a pick'em in Kentucky. Kentucky lost to LSU. That was a perfect sandwich spot. They're playing better. They're actually playing defense, which is a surprise. They had a huge upset at Auburn. They beat Ole Miss or Mississippi State, one of those Mississippi schools. This is as Southern as it gets. Alabama and Kentucky. Alabama, they are they're still hateable. I watched that. I mean, they played a great game. It was a great game versus Florida the other night. They pulled it out. They should have lost, but Yeah, they're not accomplice of a murder hateable like they were last year and then forgiving like the coach. That coach is still, Nate Oates is fucking a scum bag. But they have that player, the one player who just keeps stomping on people. He fucking dropped an elbow on this dude on Florida. Didn't get any penalty for it. Didn't get suspended. I mean, they're leaning into it. They're leaning into this troll business. They score a lot of points. Kentucky scores a lot of points. Kentucky, they have, you know, they're actually a pretty good investment if you want to take them. I think they're like 38-1 to win a national championship. They have the most talent in the country. They're just Kentucky. They just do dumb things. But I like them at home and a pick'em game. Alabama on the road is a little questionable. Ashley Judd will be there. See, that's the thing. Guys, men, if I may speak up for men, my fellow men. Men. You imagine? No, but look, men got a lot of shit for hating on Taylor Swift at the football games. They're like, I wonder why. It's all women hating. No, it's not. It's Taylor Swift hate. People don't hate on Ashley Judd. Why? Because Ashley Judd's a fan. All right? She's Kentucky Blue through and through. And she's a Judd. All right? She's got real problems. Family problems that we like. She got drunk sisters, you know. We can relate to Ashley Judd. We like Ashley Judd. She's up there in the stands, up top, sometimes rooting. Yeah, she gets a little mouthy at those women parades, but we like her. We like her rooting for Kentucky Blue. You know what I mean? I'm just kidding with the mouthy. Oh well. She hasn't been in a movie in a while. You know, it's a good movie with Ashley Judd. Here's where I flipped on Ashley Judd. Obviously, she's good in Heat. Val Kilmer's the best in Heat. Stole that fucking movie. Was better than De Niro and Pacino combined. And I stand by that, Val Kilmer. But if you ever check out the movie Bugs, I believe it's called, with Michael Shannon and Ashley Judd, it's a mind bender where they're trapped in a motel room and they feel like there's bugs in them and they're slashing. They're basically on drugs. Every mind bender is, are they crazy or are they on drugs, you know? But Michael Shannon is fucking full on batshit crazy in this one. But that's who Michael Shannon is. He's awesome. Amazing actor. So much so where the director's probably like, hey, Michael, we need you to tone down your craziness for this one. You know, and your normal craziness is a little too much here. So you reel that in. But Ashley Judd plays crazy and cracked out or whatever. And she's good. I'm like, oh, all right, Ashley. I didn't know you had that in you. I slept on your game, ma'am. I apologize, Miss Judd. Apologize, Miss Judd. I am for real, Miss Ashley. Anyway, so we'll do a coal miner bomb in Harlan, a Harlan County justified Raylan Givens Kentucky bomb. Pick 'em over Alabama. Real quick, then we'll go to Kansas State, Manhattan, Little Apple. BYU is at Kansas State. BYU is favored by 2. BYU on the road is terrible. I like this BYU team. Come tournament time, I'm going to have a few futures on them going pretty far because they shoot threes and nothing but threes. They're 35 years old. They all went on their pilgrimages to Africa and shit. So they had their unison, you know. They have families. So they're not rattled. But they can also miss threes, and that happens a lot. So if that happens, Kansas State, these Big 12 teams, home teams, they need to win. I was on them last week, and they faltered at the end. But this time, I like them. Let's do a Kansas State +2 or money line. I got to hustle to show up. Mormon bombs in pilgrimage in the Little Apple, known as Manhattan, K-State. The next one goes against my policy of fading a team that just stormed the court. Penn State just stormed the court. They beat Illinois. They were down by 8 with like 30 seconds to go or a minute to go, and they came back and won in regulation. It was an amazing comeback, including 3 free throws with 5 seconds to go. This would usually be a perfect time to fade them at the next game. We faded Ohio State last night after they beat Purdue, and Minnesota went on their run, which they do at 22-3 against the spread. But, however, we're not. We're going to go with Penn State. They're laying 4.5 to, and the reason why is we're tailing Penn State because we're fading an absolute disaster of a team in the Indiana Hoosiers. Indiana is horrible. They're one of the, they're as gross as those warm-up pants, those barbershop red and white stripes, 1920 barbershop quartet. Hello, my honey. Where you are, the Indiana Hoosiers. There goes Paul Pomade. Give it the Sammy Set shot. We got our white basketball players. We're from Indiana. We shoot it off the side of a barn. They suck. All right. I've had them the last couple of weeks. They were terrible. They got the doors blown off of them at home versus Northwestern. Then they had Nebraska come in and just smoke them. It is all at home. They need to fire a coach. Everything needs to be cleared out. They need a drunken assistant coach coming on the sideline. Not Gene Hackman. Why can't I fucking... I can't think of Dennis Hopper. That's right. Do you hate that when you forget a very common thing? That's Dennis Hopper being drunk, going across the floor. No, don't worry. He's with me. And then Hackman couldn't believe he got a technical. That was amazing. What? I'm just trying to help a man who's got a disease. Small town, high school, Indiana referee. Don't you have any respect for the disease of alcoholism? It takes a community, you know. A technical foul doesn't help. So we're going to take Penn State -4.5 to beat the Sidebarn hair pomade. I feel like all those Hoosiers, they all had like grease hair, set shots. Their Chuck Taylors never left the floor. And they all got a racist fan base. Indiana in general. They just hosted the All-Star game. Home of the Klan, by the way. They got that seething racism. So the South has racism, but it's very open about it. And they're kind of polite with it. It's almost a way of life. Indiana, they have seething racism. We're like, ooh, I do not want to see what happens when they do get upset at night. That's when real bad things happen. Either way, we're going to take a Penn State -4.5. Bob! Illinois coach complained when they lost that they shouldn't have it at that arena because that arena is too small in Penn State. They should play in that bigger place. Fuck you. You're lucky they didn't play in Sandusky's basement. Make you real comfortable. The last college game before we get to the box is DePaul Georgetown. I doing this one just for shits and giggles. DePaul is horrendous. They're the worst basketball team maybe in the country, certainly in the Power 5 conference. They are 0-14 in the Big East. Georgetown's only 1-13 in the Big East. Something's got to give. DePaul has to win one game, right? At home, look-ahead line is 4.5. They're getting home. We're just going to take it. We're not going to think about it. City of Chicago, take the red line to Fullerton. Then the 77 bus, the Belmont bus. I don't know. I'm just crossing CTA things. I don't even know where they play anymore. DePaul doesn't even know where they play, which is a shame. They used to be a good school and a good program. They're still a good school. They're a very good school. That's a problem. They're too good of a school. You got to lower some standards, all right? Let's get some actual players in there. Anyway, DePaul for the first win. Let's do it. Let's beat Georgetown because Cooley is not good. He's not doing good with Georgetown, but he is richer than us. He made sure he told that. Hey, I'm a rich motherfucker, so I don't care. Go DePaul. Bye. All right, just to recap, in the NBA, that is Phoenix minus 3.5 tonight, Milwaukee plus 4.5. And on Saturday, we got Wake Forest minus 2, Kentucky pick 'em, K-State plus 2, Penn State minus 4.5, and DePaul plus 4.5. Now with that, let's go to the box. Yes, sir, we are. We are in the box. Although when I'm doing it from home, we're always in the box. Although that is where the box first started. My first show I ever did here, Bottom Line Bombs, I did it remotely from my computer, and that's when I was like ranting about Mike Vrabel because I got knocked out of Survivor week one. And I was like, what am I doing? I'm just a man in a box screaming about Mike Vrabel. Like it was a real... Look at my life situation. Well, look what it turned into. Not much more, just a lot more of it. Anyway, here's a story I came across. Came across my desk. I'm going to talk show host say that. This came across my desk. And did you read this, folks? Did you read this pie chart? Eli Manning show, Hulu. I live here in Los Angeles. Television is a dying breed. These networks are fucking so cheap. They're not picking up shows. They're not writing shows. It's like a fraction of what they used to pick up. And what they're doing, too, there's absolutely zero originality. That's what's frustrating about this. They give no hope or chance to people creating original content. Hulu is trying... One of the tried and true techniques of giving a popular commercial a television show. Eli Manning last year, he did some spot. It was like a fake prank thing where he dressed up as a character named Chad Powers. And he practiced with Penn State or whatever. And like didn't tell people he was Eli Manning and, not a Super Bowl Hall of Fame quarterback. His character's name was Chad Powers. It was funny, whatever. I mean, it's written, blah, blah, blah. So Hulu decided, you know what? Let's give it a show. Let's give him 13 episodes. They're trying to get that Ted Lasso magic. That's how Ted Lasso got a show. Ted Lasso was just a spot that Jason Sudeikis did for NBC Sports, for Champions League Soccer for American fans. And then he gave a show, and it turned out to be a hit. Which is bad for us. It's great that Ted Lasso's a hit, and it's a good show. But now we get this. Now we get more fucking tries. And there's nothing worse than the bastardized versions. Luckily, Eli Manning won't be playing Chad Powers. It's a guy from Maverick. What the fuck his name is? Something Campbell. And he's a hot thing right now. It's going to be terrible. I'm telling you right now, it's going to be terrible. Shows from commercials are horrible. It's a horrible idea. What's up, ML, says TGIF. That's right. I gave out all the weekend. Look at that. Weekend starts here in the box. Remember when they gave the Geico Cavemen, a television show? Like ABC gave it a fucking sitcom. It was on after Roseanne, for God's sakes. It was Roseanne and then the Cavemen. I think Nick Kroll was in it. The Geico Cavemen ads, which were funny, maybe the first couple. Then it kept going. And then they gave it a sitcom. An amazing idea a network had, huh? Thing is, like the caveman, the ads, at least it was spoofing the character of the caveman being a Neanderthal and even the racist overtones to it. The whole gag was that he was intelligent, he didn't want to be typecast and all that stuff, and whatever, it was funny, it worked. I mean, I'm not gonna say it didn't work, I'm not that much of a hater. But then when the show came out, they had to stretch it out to actual writing and episodes. With commercials from different companies in the middle of their show. they just went back to those tropes that they were making fun of and just made them racist. The cavemen did have racial overtones. It was horrible. I think there was a strike in the middle of the season. Thank God it just pulled the plug on that show like six episodes in. Was dinosaurs, was that the block? Was it cavemen, then dinosaurs, not Roseanne? Wow. Way to go, ABC. What are you doing? Holy shit. Then there was, what other commercial shows were there? Baby Bob, remember that one? No, you don't. that was great. A hit commercial with a talking baby for E-Trade or internet.com, whatever it was. I know my buddy Pete Holmes voiced one of those babies. But it was a big hit, big Super Bowl ad, talking baby. So execs decided, hey, let's make a talking baby show of our own. Who doesn't want to see a talking baby every week for half an hour? Worked for Kirstie Alley and Travolta, did it? They were thinking babies. They weren't actually speaking out loud. These babies spoke out loud. By the time the show came on, though, like the internet bubble already broke. We were like sick of it. We're like, what was this? Oh, yeah, that's right. We liked this a while ago. Why don't you just put the fucking Budweiser frogs in there, too? Make them the pet. Have the next door neighbor be the lady who wants to know where the beef is. Can I borrow the beef? Hilarious. How fucking brain dead these executives are. What else? Just got another. Oh, the California Raisin one. That's right. Someone told me about that one in the comments. Thank you. California Raisin Show. The California Raisin, I might be dating myself with that one. That was a huge ad campaign. California Raisins were everywhere, mainly because of the fucking song. It's a hit song. Heard it through the grapevine. Not like we love the animated Raisin so much. We love that goddamn song. It's great. So then he gave it a show. What were they solving crimes, these raisins? What are you thinking? What are you thinking? Let me look up this Eli Manning show. Who's this guy playing Eli Manning? Glenn Powell, who was in the new Maverick. He was the handsome devil in the new Maverick. They're all handsome in the new Maverick. A skit made into a Hulu series. Oh, God. These headlines. His famed Chad Powers character gets his own TV series. About time. Thank God. Anyway, this is upsetting me. Although I do like seeing actors try to be athletic on the air. I like when I do football. Throw football, I should say. Throw football? Throw football! It's weird. I know some of them defend themselves by saying, hey, the camera angles are cutting off, but it's amazing how unathletic some actors are. And they can't. And you see it with the first pitch and stuff. I guess it's not easy with it, but like, come on. My favorite thing, like on Saturday Night Live, is whenever they do a sports sketch and they got to play basketball, then you have like eight improvers and basketball uniforms looking. Looking like a goddamn fucking dad crew, like just of slobs in the most unathletic. What is this, the art team playing basketball? What is this? Is this the entire team made out of Make-A-Wish kids? Adult Make-A-Wishers? Zip, zop, zoop. You are dead. Anyway. That's going to do it for today's Bottom Line Bomb Show. I am your host, the Bet Detective, the man in the box. That was just in the box. Let me get out of the box. Thank you for everyone who joined us live. You got your bombs to get out there tonight and for the weekend. I appreciate it. Like I said, follow me on all the socials, Instagram @CJ Sullivan was taken, not like Liam Neeson, but you know, just the words written out, was taken, as in CJ Sullivan was taken, or on X, formerly known as Twitter, at CJ Sullivan _. Make sure you subscribe to the Bottom Line Bombs, like I said earlier, on YouTube and Spotify, iTunes, wherever you listen to it. Give it a 5-star review. Go ahead. Write down all the shit you want. Talk shit on it, but give it 5 stars. Like I said, April 19th and 20th, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. If you're in the area, Laughing Tap, buy tickets now. Because, well, they probably won't go anywhere, but I could use it if you buy the tickets. I'm doing a weekend of stand-up comedy in Milwaukee, April 19th and 20th at Laughing Tap. Anyway, you guys are the best, degenerates. Thank you very much, and I'll see you next week. Good night.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.